close your eyes for a moment. Say, Father, we're looking to you to complete us. Because our journey is for your glory, not for ourselves. Jesus came, and he submitted his plan, his dreams, to your plan and your dream. So keep healing us. If we had some false visions or false desires or selfish desires, let them be burned on the fire of your altar and recreate your dream in us for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to take you on a short journey. I had like three messages in my heart, and now I know which one is which because of his plan. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 through 20. I want to kind of give you a little bit of insight as to sometimes when we question the Lord, and we all do, and there's nothing wrong with it. He loves us. He's not our adversary. He's our friend. But sometimes because of circumstances, we get involved in all kinds of things. 1 Peter 1:18 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without a spot, who verily was foreordained," and I stress that word, he was ordained before, foreordained before the foundations of the world, "but was manifest in these last times for me." So you might try that one on. Say, he was manifest.
He was manifest.
In these last times.
In these last times.
For me. Now, I want you to close your eyes and I want you to listen to a couple of comments. Thus, Satan had not frustrated, nor had he defeated the purpose of God. His laugh was in vain, and the Lord will yet have the last laugh. The wisdom of God is seen in the fact that he will use the very ones whom Satan thought he had defeated to defeat him. Ephesians 3, verse 9 and 11. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, to the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known, or might be known and exposed by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Romans 16:20. Romans 16:20. Say, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under my feet shortly." The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us. Amen. Now, the Lord could have zapped Satan and brought all the suffering in the world to an end. But he had something higher in mind, for which he had been patiently preparing his church. Ephesians 6:11-12. St. Paul tells us, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." You say, "Well, why are you giving me all this?" Because I want you to get a picture of why God allowed it. These principalities and powers are fallen angels who became rulers of the darkness of this world, gained control through the transgression of Adam, and they dramatically influenced the nations of this world. However, as we approach the end times, their control and influence is about to be challenged. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good news. And I'm going to be a part of the challenge. See, God wants to form a corporate church so powerful and so united that they will be of one mind. His. Not yours or mine. Our goal is through these visions which He provides. Dreams, words of knowledge, pieces to the puzzle that are put together by Him to coordinate together one major impact against the high forces of darkness that have ruled this world. Have done a lot of damage. Now, there is the reality that when Jesus was being tempted, if you recall, the enemy brought Him to a high place and showed Him all the kingdoms of the earth. And He offered, hey, you can take a shortcut. You can bow to Me now and I'll give them to you. But of course, He's a liar. So He would have deceived Him. And our Savior said, no way. I will not bow to anybody except My Father. But you see, the church is still bowing. Why? What are we bowing to? We're bowing to the carnal mind. Anybody got a little sliver of selfishness left in them? Come on, I should have heard at least one small amen. I didn't hear any.
Amen.
Any selfishness left in you? Yes. Who's going to burn it up? The Lord. But you got to give Him permission. Remember, one of those visions that we got there tonight was in that church for all nations. Okay? Inside the main altar is the rock where Jesus laid down His body and said, let Your will be done. Not mine. And there are times that war is a reality for all of us. And I was reminded of that today. I went through some of those things in the past. And the Lord allowed those things. And they were for a real reason. They were for me to really understand that God had done a work. He was showing me the things that I so desired were not always good for me.
Amen.
Oh, okay. Just checking. Not always good for me. They sounded good, they looked good, they smelled good, but they would have become what? Could be a crutch. Could be a coffin. Anybody get a clue? How many people got what they wanted but never lived to enjoy it? There's a scripture that says that there was a man who built a whole bunch of barns because he didn't have enough barns to store all his stuff. So he tore down all his barns and he rebuilt brand new ones and he stored all his stuff, and the next day, bingo, he was gone. And I remember one weekend I was going up to Canada, and I got there and Mom went to her sister's and I got to my brother's house, and my brother says, oh, he says, I got to go to a wake tonight. I said, well, is that anybody I know? He says, no, but he's one of my friends. He says, my age, and this is, you know, quite a few years back. I don't think the gentleman was more than 55 or 58, somewhere in there. He said, this man worked and worked and worked, and today he was telling me, just a few days back, when we were at the same restaurant having breakfast, that he was planning to retire because now he had enough money. And he says, I looked at him and I told him, maybe you ought to talk to the Lord about it. Ah, he says, he don't care about me. And my brother kind of ministered to him the truth of the Lord. Ah, he says, he's interested in my money, he can have it. Well, guess what? My brother looked at him and he says, maybe your money's not going to go with you. And 2 days later, the man was dead. 2 days. I don't remember what it was, some kind of a stroke or whatever. And a week ago, I think you can relate to this one, Mary. The young man that was brought up across the street from us, Stephen Raymond, 51 years old, same age as my son, had a massive stroke 3 weeks ago, landed in the hospital, went to rehab, and still recovering after 3 weeks. My wife went to visit his parents yesterday because that kid was more in our house than he was at his own, because he was a friend of our kids. And his brother was 5 years older than him or something like that. And his sister was, you know, a girl, so obviously that didn't work. So he was at our house most of his youth. You see, it doesn't matter what the numbers are. It's the matter is, are you ready? Are you interested in giving all of you to him for his own plan, for his purpose? You see, if God chose Jesus before the foundations of the world, he also chose you and me. And he had a plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11. God knows the plans he had for me. Okay? I want you to realize when God began his recreation that it was all orchestrated ahead. As soon as Adam and Eve failed, he didn't wait 6 months to go tell them that there was a Redeemer. He let them know that there would be one. Sometimes we kind of wonder, why is life so difficult? I think the difficulties arise because of the war that's going on inside of us. And as we learn, we're walking in a dark tunnel, and we put one foot in front of the other, and the revelations come as the darkness starts to dispel. And it only dispels as we go forward, looking to the best of our ability, maybe just 6 inches ahead. And those 6 inches are enough just to put one foot in front of the other. I believe all the Lord intends to accomplish while mankind will be done within the 7 prophetic days. The earth was created in 6 days, and on the 7th day the Lord rested. These days can be considered as being 1,000-year days. During these prophetic year days, 3 major interventions of the Lord must take place. 2 of these interventions have already been accomplished. The first intervention came at the end of the 2nd day, when the Lord brought judgment to all mankind through his intervention in the building of an ark by Noah and sending the flood to cleanse the earth. Now I want you to go to Matthew 24. Remember, Jesus is giving us a forecast of what's going to happen. And he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So when Christ arises within you and me, the darkness in the earth is going to be very, very evident. The second intervention came at the end of the fourth day, in which his incarnation, Jesus, came to bring the redemption to all mankind. The third, or the end time intervention of the Lord, during which the millennial kingdom will be established, will be a combination of two previous times of his sovereign intervention. The judgment of God in Noah's day, in which the earth was purged of sin, will again occur through great tribulation, to finally purge the earth of sin. Parallel to this, the grace and mercy of God will result in the greatest visitation this world has ever seen. So you're going to see a complete transformation of that which is of God and that which is of darkness. It's going to be easier as you walk down your life, one day at a time. Through judgment, the visitation of the millennial kingdom will be established and Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. I want you to go to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, verses 5 through 8. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the ruler. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted and none hindered. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir tree rejoices at you, and the cedars of Lebanon saying, since you are laid down, no feller is come up against us. You say, what in the world does that mean? What it means is that the healthy individuals, which are represented by the fir trees and the cedars, will be so full of joy because the darkness will have been completely annihilated. That's what's coming around the corner. And you know, I can remember one time the Lord had given Pastor Gino a word of knowledge. He said, by this time next year, he says, the name of Jesus is going to be printed in bold letters on the front page of your newspapers. And everybody looked at each other in that church, and there was a couple of hundred of us there. And we thought, and how in the world is this going to happen? Well, sure enough, within a year, the newspapers had printed big letters. It was in the news about Jesus. And you know, I can remember saying to the Lord, you know, we were then afraid that it was going to be the dark end. And yet, he kept reminding us, look, you're in the ark of safety. And he kept teaching us about Noah and the ark. Noah was a man. He was commissioned of the Father to take in all the animals. But he didn't leave with just the animals. He took his family with him. Now, the similitude is the same. The storm that is coming, and it is coming, will not affect you because you're going to ride it out. You're going to be in the boat. You're going to be in that tight-knit family. And every single one of you will be working together. And guess who else is coming in the boat with you? Even the unbelievers that are going to be doubting. For a season, they will doubt. But you know what? It's going to get so hot in the kitchen, they're going to want out. It's going to get that hot. So you see, sometimes we worry for nothing.
God did not have a war going on between Noah and his sons and their wives. It was a mutual agreement. Let's get in the boat now. It's starting to rain. It never has rained. And look at it. It's happening. What are we going to do? We better get in the boat. Some of those that are unbelievers and are stuck in all kinds of religious traditions. And I'm not blaming them anymore because I was there. I was in those religious traditions. And some of your families still are. Some of mine are doing different things. And I said to the Lord, am I to be convincing them? He said, how well do you think you'd do? How many have tried and found that it's quite impossible? Because unless the Lord prepares, what happens? It doesn't change a thing. You're just arguing and you're getting yourself all worn out for nothing. Amen? So I want you to close your eyes. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you're building a boat. It's a real good boat. It's incredible. Because we're working together. And some of us are just learning how to work together. All of it is for good. And this ark will be ready to take in as many passengers as God desires. And that includes my family. Acts 16:31. Salvation is mine and for my household. Hallelujah. He's going to prepare me. He's continuing to prepare me. And it's going to be His plan that will unfold. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus.